What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have students from Sale High School, the Sale Contingency. I'm always glad to have all of them. Allow me to introduce them to you. Joining me here at the roundtable, I have Savannah Burris. Savannah is a junior. She is into cats and books and cooking and relaxing.
Baking.
Oh, baking. Can't read that writing.
I have awful handwriting.
Yes, you do. Okay.
Oh, wow.
But glad to have you. Ayanna Brantley, always glad to have her. She always adds some interesting perspectives. She's a junior, and she's into reading and music and makeup.
Hello.
Connor Mock. Connor is in the 11th grade. She is into reading, writing, and baking.
Hi.
And Emily Simeon. Emily is in the 10th grade. Her things are Key Club, being a dog mom, biology, and marine science.
Key Club, my life.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I just want to thank you all for coming. It's always great to have you. Now, how do we understand and appreciate our historical icons without idolizing or turning racist figures into God? Should colleges continue to honor famous alumni who were racist? What steps, if any, should be taken to refute or de-emphasize historical figures who held racist views? Do we hold past historical figures to today's standards? Well over 1,000 place names dot the American landscape. Many may find them offensive. For example, in California, one can swim in Chinaman Creek, or go to Minnesota and camp in Cripple Lake, or Dead Negro Draw, or Jewtown in Texas. American Indian-derived names, mascots, and logos have been a long history in the United States. Indian-themed mascots have been a tradition for thousands of schools and pro sports teams in the U.S. They are literally in every corner of America. How important is this part of history? What do you think? How do we handle it? And you in the hot seat, because you're always next to me, so go for it.
Well, I do think that as for figures, we should, you know, not stop teaching about them, but also teach that, you know, these people were racist. These people did bad things. We shouldn't ignore that. And, you know, as for, like, the Indian mascots and stuff, I think it puts sort of like a the way that they're depicted by a lot of schools is wrong. You know, you have teams like the Redskin, which is a racist name that is an entire team. There's Redskin Nation all up in Maryland, and it's a racist name that, and a lot of people I know are trying to get changed. And
yeah.
I think some things are definitely needing to be changed.
Look at it this way. If the Redskins change their logo and their name, they could make a lot of money selling the new merchandise.
Yeah. But then again, they might also lose a lot of money with fans that are no longer loyal to the Redskins.
But think about all those fans who would be newly loyal because, oh my gosh, they did the politically correct thing. But
or how about just
I don't
the
care
right
about
thing.
Football personally, so.
But, you know, I'm throwing it out there, and I'd like to hear from you, too. You want to?
Yeah. About the mascot things, like with the Seminoles, they're using a people as a mascot, and that's not okay. It's pretty much the equivalent to someone doing, like, but it's very inaccurate, but, like, it's just not okay. Like,
but
in my family,
Seminoles
we don't even
have
buy
said
that.
It's okay.
Yeah,
I
the
mean,
Seminoles
the,
are, like,
with them,
we
that's
pay
an
the
exception.
Money to use them.
The Seminoles have said, hey, Florida State, we don't have a problem with it. I mean, overall. So they're not doing that in opposition, you know, to what those people want. I mean, I just need to clarify that, okay? And so, they, I mean, and yet I understand where you're coming
from. And they are
from.
Doing it in a respectful manner. You know, they make sure that, like, for Chief Osceola, they make sure that the outfit is correct and it's traditional wear, mm-hmm. you know.
And I think
they
it's make only sure Seminole it's, kids or only Native American kids that get to be the mascot, so it's not like a white guy with Indian face.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but to me, that would make sense. You know, okay.
But I'm not just focusing on Seminoles now, mm-hmm. because I want us to look at the larger picture. What do you think when we have these icons and these statues, you know, that represent really icons in history, definitely icons in history, but maybe during that time was not real positive, very controversial, okay?
Well, my opinion is if you're going to show there is people that have racist opinions, well, there is two sides to it, and you can show different, if you're teaching a kid like me, what that person is saying, well, you can also put in something else from that time period so you could see different views. And even if that view may be correct or it may be not correct, but you could still see different points of view. And that's what you should have with history. If you're seeing someone that has a racist opinion, well, maybe you should put in someone that doesn't really have a mutual opinion about something, and you could put that together and then see what the different points of history.
Okay. Well, let me give you an example. For example, students at Princeton University protested Wilson. He was the 28th president of the United States from 1913 to 1921. There's a residential complex named after him. And annually, a Woodrow Wilson Award is bestowed upon an alum. Harvard is debating whether to change its seal, where there are 3 bushels of wheat. And these 3 bushels of wheat were borrowed from the slave-owning royal family. And this family was a family that helped fund the school's financing. Should colleges continue to honor alumni who were racist? I mean, this is a current and a big problem that's ongoing right this minute, okay? Yes, ma'am, and I'll just go around the table because each of you have something to
say. I don't think that they should deny that, like, yeah, these people went here, you know, and all, and people should recognize that this was a different time where these thoughts were okay, even if they're not okay now, mm-hmm. then it was okay, but I don't think they should continue celebrating these people because they weren't bad people, but now they would be considered bad. You know, if they were alive today
right.
and they had their thoughts and their actions today, they'd be considered bad people. So I don't think we should continue to, you know.
You raise a good point, and I'll come back to all of that. I'm going to go around the table. Yes, ma'am.
I mean, in my opinion, history is history. There is no such thing as good or bad history.
Okay.
It's just
okay.
history.
Okay.
History is what we learn from, and with the, like, idolizing or whatever of these old racist figures, they may have had negative views, but they didn't necessarily do negative things. Like, JFK and MLK are, like, really celebrated, but they both cheated on their wives on a regular basis. They did bad things, too, yet we still celebrate them. I'm not saying racism is okay, because it's not. But I'm saying it's not these old figures who we remember, their being racist is not as big a deal as people make it out to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
At least not in my opinion.
Yes. Well, that's what I want, your opinion.
I feel like if there's a large enough group of people who wanted it taken down, then it should be. But in my opinion, it's still history, and long as people learn about it, this kind of reminds me of, I'm not sure, do you watch Good Times?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, there's an episode where Michael, he got in trouble because he said something about George Washington being a racist, and he almost got in trouble for it, and it ended up being a learning experience for him and his dad. I think it should just become, like, a learning experience where people are like, yeah, he was racist, but he also did these things, but, you know, we could just learn from it.
Okay.
Well, what I think is, if you're learning about something, you shouldn't deny that historical part, but you should teach it the right way, not just saying someone's personal opinions. You all should, you could put in personal opinions, but also put a little bit of facts into it so people can understand why did that person have a certain opinion that time period.
Go right ahead.
What's technically the right way? Because I don't think it's possible to teach history without having some of your personal bias.
Yeah, right.
Because history is written by the victor. Like,
you know,
if the Nazis had won the war, history would be a lot different.
And also, there's the truth. You got to teach the truth. If somebody was, you know, if one of our founding fathers, which a lot of them did, held slaves.
I think all the founding fathers had slaves.
But, you know, that was a common thing. Then, you know, you teach, yeah, they had slaves. That doesn't mean that they didn't do good things, you know.
Exactly.
You teach that, yeah, these figures, they would be considered extremely racist now, but they weren't then because that was the norm.
Mm-hmm. And I think you really raise a good point about that, because that's something I was going to bring up to you, in that, yeah, slavery wasn't good. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't have gone along with slavery, but that's what was happening at that time, okay? That was what was current, you know, at that time. And I don't know, can we change it? Because it seems like maybe there's going to be something that every segment of society, if they look back over history, may find a portion of it, a component of it, unfair and offensive. So, you know, the question is, how do we address that? What steps do we take to refute or de-emphasize the historical figures and their racist views? Because that was what was happening at the time. Yes, ma'am.
I guess one of the biggest solutions, people have problems with stuff like being named after racist figures or having racist names. I think the solution there is from now on not to name anything racist things.
Like, I mean, yeah.
Football teams called the Redskins. If you're so upset about Andrew Jackson, don't name it Andrew Jackson Elementary School.
Hold your thoughts. Hold your thoughts for a minute, because there's a lot of things we can talk about. You really raised a lot of issues, Connor. You tuned in to 411 Teen, and we are having a great discussion. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me this hour, I have what I call the SAIL contingency, students from SAIL, and we are looking at rethinking history. Again, I welcome Emily Simeon, Connor Mock, Ayanna Brantley, and Savannah Burris. Did I interrupt you, Connor? Did you have something else you wanted to say? Because what we're talking about is revisiting history. And we were just talking about, you know, you have to put it in its context. That's essentially what we're saying, that we have to put it in its context. And things today that individuals may find offensive may not apply to what happened. Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Well, we were talking about this maybe, I don't know what class it was in, but we were talking about this with racism and stuff and slavery. Well, we were seeing it. We were reading about something saying, well, the textbooks don't go into detail because someone else is writing it. Like it said, the slaves chose to come over here. And that's teaching little kids the wrong opinion.
Well, yeah.
And they need to broaden it and teach the kids that there's more than them just saying, oh, they came over here. There's more to that story, even though it's not, the whole story is not appropriate for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you got to go into a little bit more detail so they understand, so they're not getting something else out of that.
Yes.
I would like to point out historically, slaves did not choose to come here, but it also wasn't like white people ran to jungles or were kidnapping madly. A lot of it was warring tribes. They would sell their prisoners to white people as slaves.
Mm-hmm. That happened a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of slaves came from. It wasn't like a...
But they did not choose to come here.
Yeah,
they did not choose, definitely not.
And, you know, they came here and they were second class, third class citizens, and they had no rights.
Not even citizens.
They were chattel. Okay.
Yeah, not even citizens. Well, they were property.
That's why I said they were chattel. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, did you have other comments? Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back to the naming places, you know, after historical figures. I don't think that if there's something already named after somebody, I don't think you should rename it. I just don't think you should continue naming things after it. Like, you know, we have Calhoun Street.
Right.
Well,
you are reading my mind. go right ahead. No, it's great. Go on.
But, you know, it's like we have Calhoun Street. Well, I don't think we should continue naming things after one of the, I think, like the second largest slave owner in, was it North
Carolina? Not just Calhoun Street. There's Duval. There's Calls. There's Chairs. Mm-hmm. All of these were named after slave owners.
Yeah.
Big time slave owners.
How about Killarn Plantation still being called Killarn Plantation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a plantation was a big farm that had slaves. That's what a plantation was.
Right, right. But, go right ahead.
It's like, my family's, like, really old, and we're one of, like, the old homestead families around Leon County. And at one point, we did have slaves. Like, I think we had two at one point.
Oh, y'all didn't have much going on.
Yeah, but I know we did have slaves at one point. But, and there's a reason we aren't called a plantation anymore. I think we're like publicly called like the old Stagecoach Farm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay.
But my family aren't bad people. They're just, that was the times. And they happened to own slaves because there was a lot of land. And
well, you touched on something I had written down. I mean, because we say, you know, bad images, bad people. But how do we define bad? What does bad mean? I mean, and I'm just throwing that out there. That's just rhetorical. But when you think about that, at that time, it depends on who's looking at it. You know, what their perspective is. They might not think that's bad. I'm sure there are people today who don't think slavery was bad, okay? And some of them probably would like to go back to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, that's the reality.
I can think of one person I know.
Okay. All right.
I'm not really going to go, but I know somebody who thinks that we should go, like, that prisoners, you know, who have been arrested and are in prison for life, they think that they should be sold as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
For the record, slavery is not okay.
It is not.
All right. I think there's some presidential candidates that might like to go back to slavery if you ask me. But that's another whole story.
If he hasn't locked them all behind the wall.
Thank you.
That's another whole story. But what students who attend some of these schools that have these statues on campus, some of them say that these continual images send a message. And the message that it sends is that they are not welcome on campus because these icons continue to, you know, exist. And so what message does it send? Do you see them as sending that kind?
I mean, if you have to walk by every day, I can understand where they're coming from because, you know, I would definitely feel uncomfortable if I saw a figure like that on a campus. I would definitely question a little bit. And, you know, if it's a statue or something, I don't see why that would be that big of a deal to, you know, have something done about it. It's a statue. It's fairly easy to take a statue down and put something else there if you need something there. Yeah, put a flower garden. Put a memorial.
Okay.
Depending on what it is,
but a statue
put a memorial.
Is someone who's not racist.
Yeah, but if it's
usually these statues, you know, are associated, you know, in some significant way in the founding or the funding or what of the university. I mean, you know, they've had a very integral part in this university, and so that's how they get there. So now, if we take these statues away, are we denying these individuals who really played a very important role in the university? I mean, again, what about the times? What about the context?
I don't think they... So the statue's being taken down. I don't think it should be taken. I don't think anything should be changed unless it becomes a problem. You know, if the students are complaining about it, if a lot of students want something done about it, then it should be taken down. But I think unless something like if it's a statue, I think unless it becomes a problem.
But how do we do this? You know, I mean, I feel you and I know exactly where you're coming from. But I'll get to you. How do we define a problem? I mean, is it defined by the number of students or who the students are? Yes, ma'am.
I think it's just the number of students that complain and feel uncomfortable about it. And it kind of just comes down to if the people who run the school care about the people, like, recruiting different people to the school.
Or even just care about the students.
Yeah, because if the students say they're uncomfortable, like, if a specific group of students say they're uncomfortable and they do nothing about it, that says something about the school and the kind of people they want at the school.
Did you have a comment?
Well, I definitely say if it's, like, to a point where there's violence coming involved and there's, like, fights and there's, like, problems with students not agreeing with it, then they should there's enough students. You know, they and that's their safe place. That's where they go to school. They should feel safe. And if there's enough students that say, I don't want this on the campus, then it should be, you know, they should put in deep consideration and, you know, remove it. Because that's a safe place for students to go to learn. And it should be, if they want it removed and to make them feel safe, they should get it removed.
Okay. Well, Thomas Jefferson. Oh, did you have one more comment?
Yeah. I agree that if a bunch of student body is saying, let's get rid of the statue, you should probably get rid of the statue. But at the same time, a thing I've noticed with a lot of college students is that a lot of them are oversensitive to this sort of thing. Like, I remember reading a case where it was, like, some school in, I think, like, Virginia, where this lady was giving, like, free yoga lessons, and they were canceled because it was, quote-unquote, cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I remember
that. And it's
the
stupidest thing. No offense, but it's stupid.
Yeah, I do think, I think what happens is when kids, like, you know, they get out into the real world, like the world we're not already living in isn't real, but let's not get into that. Well, when they get out there and, you know, they start being able to experience things, they do start over, and I think that they do start over analyzing and, you know, really looking very extremely deeply into these things. And I feel...
Young people
in internet culture, there's social justice warriors where they are people who take things like way out of hand. Like, you know, somebody says something online that, you know, they don't mean it in a bad way, but like they're like a lot of times you find it as white people that are over looking into things and not even asking people, you know, who might find that offensive. If it's offensive to them, like I remember seeing a picture of a little girl and, you know, like, and it was like a Japanese tea party. And it was a little white girl that like her mom took a lot of care into getting or putting together a tea party. And immediately, as soon as that was posted, people started attacking them for cultural appropriation. And then, you know, a bunch of Japanese people were like, no, we don't care if people do that. That means they're learning about our culture.
It's like cultural appropriation. For crying out loud, American culture is like a big mashing pot of a bunch of different cultures intermingling and becoming a new thing. It's not cultural appropriation. It's cultural growth. Things change over time. And it changes through the influence of others. Like, if there's a little white girl who's really interested in Japanese tea stuff, she should be able to do that without being accused of being a racist or whatever. And it's like, if there is a kid who wants to learn yoga, he shouldn't be told that's cultural appropriation. Okay. So, no.
I think the only time it is a cultural appropriation is if somebody takes it and denies it from the culture that it came from.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a traditional Japanese tea party and then say, oh, yeah, it's an American tea party or an English tea party, you know, something like that, then I think that's a cultural appropriation.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, this isn't pertaining to everybody, but when I see some things and it's pertaining to a certain culture or race, it's not everyone, but mostly half the people that say something, they're disagreeing with it and yelling at someone or commenting, saying mm-hmm. it's harmful to that culture. They aren't even a part of that culture. And they don't, that's what I, is sometimes if you don't know what's in that culture, if someone from that culture says, oh, that's not right, then that's another thing. But if someone's not from that culture and doesn't understand about that culture at all and saying, oh, that's wrong, mm-hmm. then they, I don't know if they really, they, I mean, they have their opinion, but how
do they have?
Do they have really strong opinion? Yeah.
Right.
Well, not authority, but do they actually have the standpoint to, you know, actually know what they're talking? Do they actually know what they're talking about?
That's exactly, yeah.
But the sad thing is opinions are like butts. Everyone has one, and not everyone wants to see it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, Thomas Jefferson was the founder of the University of Virginia and a slave owner. His statue stands tall on the campus. It is the focus of controversy. When classes began way back in 1825, and from 1825 to 1865, slaves lived and worked on the Charlottesville campus. Slaves made bricks for the building. They grew vegetables, and they served as butlers. This past fall, the university built a new dorm and named what the way they addressed it is they named the dorm after two of the university's slaves. So he, Thomas Jefferson is still very prominent, but they have some new dorms and they named them after the slaves. Do you think that we should hold past figures to today's standards? Because that's basically what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about people, again, who are having a problem with these statues, who may be having a problem with the names of different buildings because of who these individuals were and what they represented, what kind of enterprise they engaged in during their lifetime. Do we need to hold these figures to today's standards? I mean,
no.
It's okay. Yeah, it's impossible to. We have the standards that we have today because of our history. Okay. You know, without, you can't change our history, and you know, trying to hold today's standards to that would it just, you can't do it.
No, you shouldn't hold historical figures to our standards because our standards didn't exist back in the 1700s. They had no idea of knowing how it was going to turn out. They didn't know that 300 years from now they're going to be told they're racist buttholes.
But, but now, I mean, I,
now
this is
you
what
should
students
teach them that
say.
These ideas are not okay, but those were the time. Now it's not acceptable, but back that then it was the norm.
Well,
and that's,
some
this distinction should be made very clear.
Some of the students are saying that, I recognize that, but when this university was founded, it was founded because they didn't want people that looked like me to even attend the university. I mean, well, it was just for it was just for whoever, you know, white students. And now that they have black students and black students or Asian students or whoever, okay, have to walk past this. You know, statue on a daily basis, it just reminds them that they were not wanted and they still aren't wanted. Now, that's what they're saying. Did you have something you wanted to say
yes.
first? Let me get with Ion.
Yeah. I still think if it's that controversial and there are that many students that want it down, it should definitely be taken down. I think it's great that they named at one of the dorms after the slaves. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. But if there are that many students there that feel uncomfortable, they should really consider taking it down because it makes the school look bad because it's like, oh, we definitely don't want you here because we're going to keep it up anyway. We don't care what you think. And it just, they should definitely take it down.
But if we take it down, and I'm just throwing this out here for you all to think about, are we trying to rewrite history? Are we trying to deny the reality that this is what was going on and these are who these people were and this is what they stood
well,
for. Although the university no longer represents and stands for them for that because look at the diversity that exists in our student population. I'm just playing both, you know, giving mm-hmm. you both. Look at our student population. Obviously, we do not ascribe to what they, you know, what it originally was the founder was saying. But what do we do? I mean, I'm throwing that out. Yes, ma'am. Connor.
I don't think they should get rid of the statue because okay. Thomas Jefferson, while he may have had slaves, he did great things for our country. Okay. And he wasn't necessarily a bad person. Like I said, he was a product of his times because he was a rich white guy. Yes, mm-hmm. he was going to have slaves. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I said this before, it's like we can't erase history because we don't like what those figures did. That's not mm-hmm. what they're remembered for. Like MLK and JFK both cheat on their wives, but we idolize them in our history because they did great things.
Okay.
Yes, another thing is we idolize John Lennon. He was extremely abusive to his wife, and he was a horrible father. And, you know, but mm-hmm. another thing that I wanted to say was that I think we need to do something to counteract these things. You know, we need to have more memorial diversity. Like, you know, if we're going to have statues of these founders and these racist figures, we need to have other, you know, people from those states and stuff like that. Maybe from, you know, we need to have something else there to try to counteract it.
Okay. You know? All right. Yeah. I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Make it short. We got it. Take a break.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
To answer your question before,
mm-hmm.
No, I do not think taking the statue down would be erasing history at all, because history it's still there. It would be a dramatic, like a far stretch to say it's erasing history. And if it bothers that many people, then they should definitely take it down, because it makes the school look bad, ignoring the people, how they feel.
Okay. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a break, but we'll be right back. Be more constructive to leave these disputed names on the facilities or these disputed statues, leave them up, but use them to teach about slavery and racism and segregation. You're tuned into 411 Teen, and this hour we are looking at revisiting history. So again, my question is, maybe it would be a more productive, constructive way is to leave these icons, leave these names, but use them to teach about the slavery, teach about racism, teach about segregation. What do you think?
Like a good deal.
Yeah.
It seems like a fair compromise. You're still keeping the history, but at the same time, you're also teaching what these people did is not okay and it's not acceptable now.
Mm-hmm. And it would be extremely easy to, you know, add something, you know, if there's a giant statue of somebody, it would be extremely easy to add, like, an information plaque about them and, you know, some of their actions. Like, you know, I cannot off the top of my head think of anybody.
Right, but
yeah. You know, say this person was a slave owner, you know, say some of the things they did, but also, you know, say some of the good stuff they did and be like, they would at our times now be considered racist, but they can, you know, but are you going to hold, you know, I would actually put this question on there. Would you hold today's standards to somebody from our past?
That's actually, it could be really interesting. Like on one side of the thing, you have the good, and on the other side, you have the bad. And in the middle, you have questions people might ask. That could be really interesting, actually.
And that would spark discussion, which would lead to learning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a wonderful idea.
Because the one thing I do say, no matter what your perspective or your position is, it's important that, how should I say, we understand the many dimensions of the legacy, you know, whatever it may be. It may be slavery, but I don't think we need to, we don't want to totally negate it. I mean, that's the reality, you know. The key, again, is how do we deal with it? Do we remove these statues? Do we change the names on buildings? How should it be addressed? And I think as far as the universities, and there are many of them in question, you know, they're struggling with this issue right now, you know. I don't know. Okay. Well, more than 1,000 places have names that are offensive. In Pennsylvania, there's a Jew town. As I said, in California, you can swim in Chinaman Creek. In Texas, you can visit Dead Negro Draw. In Minnesota, you can camp near Cripple Lake. And the list goes on and on and on.
People are going to make up funny names for places no matter where you are, honestly.
But they're not saying they're funny.
Yeah.
It's not about funny.
No, it's funny, but I mean, they're funny as in strange.
Okay.
Funny as in strange.
I don't think it's humorous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Though Cripple Lake does sound a little bit funny.
Yeah.
It sounds like more dangerous. Like, you know, I feel like it got its name from there's like, you know, people jump off a cliff or something there and then like end up like badly injuring themselves for life. Cause, you know, that's what I feel like when I hear that. But, you know, it's like how in, it's Steinhatchee. There's Dead Man's Corner because that's where they would lynch Black people, you know, that's very near us.
You're right.
You know, still in some places, they have things named like that because there's still ongoing problems with it. But I think that things like Chinaman Creek and stuff, that's something that, you know, you might want to rename that, you know.
I mean, I'm throwing it out there for you all, whatever you, did you have a comment?
Like I said before, if there's a large enough group of people that are offended by it and think it should be taken down or changed, it definitely should be changed. But I think it would be cool if, like, they included, like, a plaque, like, on the street.
So you
like,
would know.
Yeah, so you know what's happening and why it's, like, named that and what happened there.
And maybe, like, honor and, like, give a small – and put a memorial, you know, for, like, whatever, like – for whatever it is, if something bad happened there, like if this was a spot where slaves would be hung or something, maybe put a little memorial there, you know, so that people will remember.
But at the same time, I think with like naming streets and roads after racist people, I don't think that's big of a deal because people don't think about the history behind a street name. They think, okay, take the street to get to this place.
Yeah.
Like so many
I don't think of the historical significance of when I have to take Monroe home.
Or yeah,
I just like, think, God, the traffic sucks.
Yeah, or like when I'm taking Duval or Calhoun, I'm not thinking about that. I'm like, okay, where
but
am I?
But that's not you. But see, what I'm saying is, what about others who find it offensive? I mean, and I know we can go back, and this will never solve this. I don't think we will, but maybe we will. I'm just saying that, yeah, that's what you think. But like you keep mentioning, if a lot of people find it offensive, what do we do? I mean, and we may not be able to answer that. Because many of the names can be seen as offensive and demeaning to African Americans, Native Americans, Italians, Mexicans, Chinese, Japanese. It's the U.S. Board on Geographic Names that have the final say. When it comes to ethnic slurs, only two words are officially outlawed. The board ordered all places using pejorative words for African American, often referred to as the N-word, to be changed to Negro. And it banned the word Jap, a slur for Japanese, which was mostly used in California, Hawaii, and Oregon. So, you know, I mean, views can be changed over time. The names can date back decades when local minorities lived alongside whites. And even when names are not offensive, they can still generate emotional debates. I mean, like you were talking about Dead Man's, you know, that, you know, the name itself may not be offensive, but it's what it represents. In August, President Obama, I'll get to you in 1 second, President Obama used his executive power to end a long battle and restore, what was it, Mount McKinley from, it was the 25th president to Denali, meaning the high one And a lot of Alaskans dislike that. I know you probably all remember. I don't know if you remember that or not, okay? But we go right back to the age-old question, should these names be erased from historical archives? And I know you had something you wanted to say.
When it comes to just like location names like Chinaman Creek or Cripple Lake or whatever, that I think there's no big deal in changing that. It's not like it's named after a person. It's just a slur.
Yeah,
that's not really a big deal to change it. When it's something like changing street names or changing names of buildings or that sort of thing, I think that's a lot bigger deal because names are what make history, not necessarily a slur calling someone a Jap. Oh, that sounded a lot worse than I meant.
No, I know what you're saying.
I say it's not a big deal to change those places' names, but I think changing Calhoun Street just because you think Calhoun was a bad person, I think that's stupid.
Okay. Yeah, you're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I would say that changing it would be stupid because it's how someone feels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, someone's feelings is, like, you know, never stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But...
You're a lot nicer than I am.
But... Yeah, I do think places that are named after like racial slurs should definitely be changed. And I don't like the idea of going through and changing every single thing because it's like ignoring slavery. Like it was a thing that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and people need to acknowledge it. People don't like to talk. Some people just don't like to talk about race. Even it is a thing that affects us and has affected us and will affect us for a very long time. And it's a conversation, like something that needs to be talked about.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is, you know, we do not need to treat these names and these places as if they never occurred by totally erasing them. Because what we can do is we can use these names to teach about our past. Okay. If that's what I hear you, in essence, you know, when I put it all together, that's what I hear you saying, you know, because some of these names, maybe if, for example, like Squaw and Half Breed and Coon Bottom, okay, those all have negative, they're really negative, offensive messages. Do we change them?
I'm sorry, my mom lives in Coon Bottom, so.
Oh. Okay.
Like she has this online store where she sells like restored purses and stuff. She named it Kumbang Couture.
Okay. All right.
I think that, you know, maybe when it comes to things like, you know, slave owners stuff, you know, things being named after slave owner, a solution to that is most slaves after they were freed or not, they were given their masters or whatever you want to call it, their last name.
Okay.
You know, there's plenty of people that you could choose from, maybe even just locally or anything like that, that have the same last names that you could rename it without renaming it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, find somebody else with the same last name that's, you know,
okay,
maybe didn't do what would be considered awful things in our age.
All right. Comment. You don't have anybody else?
Hang on, I have it.
I know you looked like it. It'll come back. It'll come back, Connor. You know.
What's it?
But again.
Oh, that was it.
Okay.
But there are some cases where I think we definitely need to tone down on the historical figure, like Andrew Jackson, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, in Springtime Tallahassee or whatever, there's a giant Andrew Jackson. And I realize that Andrew Jackson is, like, a big part of our local history, but he was a jerk. Like, he was a straight-up jerk.
Trail of Tears.
Nobody liked him, even in his own time. Nobody liked Andrew Jackson.
I just had to watch a documentary in government today on him, and it talked about how, he was kind of miserable as president because nobody liked him.
Okay.
And, like, I think we should take him off the $20 bill because, one, Andrew Jackson didn't even believe in paper money.
Yeah, he didn't believe in that. And, you know, it would be awesome to replace that with a woman because, you know, we're trying to get a female on the money. And I don't think we should take Alexander Hamilton off of the $10 bill because he founded our nation's bank and also has an awesome musical.
Exactly.
We're not going to go into that. But, you know, it would not make sense to take Alexander Hamilton off of the money.
Well, how do you all propose we deal with Springtime Tallahassee? Because what message does it say? And you brought this up, Connor, with Andrew Jackson right there in the front.
It wouldn't be that hard just to get rid of the Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, just not include it, you know.
I mean, we can still teach him in, like, the history books and stuff, but a giant Andrew Jackson at the front of the parade? That's a little silly.
Yeah. So, how do you, I mean, what do you propose?
Complain about it. I mean, like I said, if there's a large enough group of people that don't like it, it's going to be taken down.
Well, the thing is, it's not going to be taken down.
There's no guarantee that it will be taken down. But if it got controversial enough, then people would like have to recognize it.
The thing is that things like parades and stuff are usually like, what's in there is usually decided by a committee, and it would be up to changing the committee's minds. And in a lot of towns, you know, especially in the South, that's something that people don't understand is the South is still pretty segregated, you know, like, and people that are in charge of things like that, they're typically not going to be inclined to agree with people that have these opinions.
What I'm asking is, do you think that they're sending a message?
They are literally celebrating Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, I don't think they're intentionally sending a you're not wanted message or, you know, anything like that.
You don't think it's intentional?
I do not think that they're intentionally sending it. Well, but hopefully most people are not. You know, I'm sure there's some people that that's the message they're trying to send, but I'm sure most of the people aren't trying to intentionally send that message.
We would hope.
We would hope that most
people. We're not going to say we're sure.
Let's be optimistic about it.
Yeah. We would hope that people aren't trying to send that message, and they're just trying to celebrate somebody who we have a lot of history with.
Okay.
But at the same time, they are literally suggesting a known racist figure who no one liked, even in his own time. No one liked Andrew Jackson. He's like, I feel like he was just back then's Donald Trump.
I can see that. Yeah. Now all I can imagine is an old-timey guy, like, you know, Donald Trump dressed in old-timey clothes. In my brain, I think I need some bleach because somehow that looks worse than he already does.
All right. Comment.
I think about the people should say things about it, you know, complain, let it get like catch fire, let it become like a big thing, because even if nothing is done about it, people, it'll spark a conversation and people will start thinking about it more and saying, oh, wait, in my town we have this too. And I don't think that's, you know, and people will start, you know, thinking about it more and good things will happen. People will learn.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Emily? I mean, if we look at this, if we just, springtime Tallahassee, Andrew Jackson, the front of the parade, the biggest float.
I didn't know I was in the parade, but I did not know that he was in the front because I haven't lived here that long. So I'm not totally 100% understandive of the history. Mm-hmm. I should, but I really don't because I didn't grow up here.
Okay.
I
mean, but, okay, even though you didn't, now we're telling you what's happening and where things stand. So what do you think now that you do know, you know, that he was a slave owner, he was obviously a very negative person, he was not anyone that was really well-respected? Yes, ma'am.
I would just like, one of the reasons why Andrew Jackson is such a big deal is because he was Florida's first governor. And that's why it's such a big thing, especially because Tallahassee is the capital. So he was our first governor, which is why people care so much about him.
Yeah.
Is that what it
is? Well, if enough people don't want it and it comes an issue, like everybody was saying before, if it's an issue and enough people bring it to attention saying, oh, we don't want this, then I understand taking it down. You know, everybody has their opinion. Needs to have their opinion. It's how our country should be.
Very quickly.
I think an easy solution to this is, who founded Tallahassee? I know the answer. Plenty of people don't.
What's the answer?
I forget the dude's name. He's the first prince. Okay. The only thing left named after him in Tallahassee is a motel down in Frenchtown. Why don't we celebrate the founder of our city
Okay.
Instead of the first governor, because he was the governor of all of Florida. Why not our founder?
On that note, I would like to say thank you. I always appreciate having you. My sale contingency, special thanks to Savannah Burris, Ayanna Brantley, Connor Mott, and Emily Simeon. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.